into the household of faith. Amen? Thank God. Can we say thank God?
Thank God.
Can we say thank God for what He has done? What He is doing right now? And what He shall do. Amen? Repeat after me. I thank God that everything that is is already. I thank God that everything in the future is now. I thank God that everything in the past is now. I thank God that the future is now. Because I'm complete in Christ. And my future is right now. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank God. Give the Lord a big hand in my heart. 38,000 people shouting the Tigers last night. I'm happy to be one. But I said, no, if you ain't going to shout for those of us in the game, I said, amen. We could, amen. Thank God. See, our shout is an eternal shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Let everyone pray. Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, grace, kindness, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for the redemption, the love, and everything that you've given us, Father. And that's all in Christ. Oh God, we ask that you give your people a revelation of the fact that we are complete in you, Father. And everything works by the unction of your will, plan, and purpose. Oh God, we ask that you would breathe upon the service here according to your will. Breathe upon your people. Oh God, let everything be done. Exalt Christ. Everything said, everything. Lift up Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we ask that you breathe upon this service. Breathe upon your word, oh God. Let everything be done to the edification and the exhortation of the body of Christ. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love in Jesus' name. Let all the people of God say amen and amen. Thank God. God is good. We're going to move right on. Let's go. You know, it's interesting that when my wife preached, I think a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, teased my darling wife that night. I said, baby, I love you. And I didn't say it. I mean, I said it to my, you know, she knows I love her. Right? Yeah. But anyway, I said, if I'm not mistaken, I said, wait a minute, I think, well, you know how preachers do it. I guess we all programmed to preach 1 hour, Pastor. So I said, wait a minute now. She preached, I think, 28 minutes. So we need to balance this thing out today. So I said, if I go 1 hour and 30 minutes today, let's see if you know. Y'all relax, amen. Well, I tell you, I ain't get no shit. No, it won't be an hour and 30 minutes. But thank God, amen. But it was a blessing. It was 28 minutes. You know, amen. It was a blessing. Amen. Everything blessed by the ministry staff this summer. Amen. It's been blessing, been a blessing. Okay, we're going to go right here to 2 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. Amen. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. Now, historically, before we actually begin this, understand that this is the Apostle Paul. This is the mystery, part of the mystery that God revealed to him. God called him up and showed him some wonderful things. Amen? And what are some of the things that God showed Paul? Well, we'll begin, I hope everybody has that, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll go right to verse 1 on through 10. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 10. Who's going to be our reader? Okay, Dick and Gavin is our reader. And let's begin. Amen.
We're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 1. King James Version. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord.
Amen.
I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth,
mm-hmm.
how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter.
Notice God called Paul up and showed him, notice the key word that Deacon read, he showed him in verse 1, visions and revelations of the Lord. Showed him some wonderful things that we're going to go into the Greek in a few minutes, but keep going, Deacon, as we go into this. Amen?
Verse 5, of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Mm-hmm. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me.
Notice Paul says, any man should think me above that. See, God showed him some wonderful things. God showed Paul some wonderful things in eternity. But God had to deal with this man in time, in manifestation time, with the because he was God used him to usher in a whole new dispensation, which is our contract, our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. And so God had a plan and purpose for Paul's life, just like he's got a plan and purpose for everyone's life in here. Amen. We're all one in Christ, but we're all uniquely designed by God for a specific purpose. Amen. Let's go. Keep going, D.
Mm-hmm. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Unless I should be exalted above measure. And then notice, isn't it interesting that God takes Paul and shows him the wonderful revelation of the Lord, these wonderful things that God has for the body of Christ, for you and I. Isn't it interesting that God shows this, the environment here is at the Church of Corinth, which is one of the most carnal, physical churches in all of Paul's writings. But there was a purpose in this. There was a purpose that God had in terms of showing Paul these visions and revelations for this particular church. Amen? Let's keep going, D.
Verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Hallelujah.
Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Now see, sometimes when you read verse 10, you know, the natural mind would think, Paul, you must have spoken something. Paul, what's wrong? What do you mean when you, in other words, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities? I mean, in the way the natural mind works, if you hit with an infirmity, you want to be what? This fleshly part of us want to be what? You want to take the road with least resistance. And that's part of flesh. The flesh does not want pain. But in our contract, if you look at everything from the eternal view, our contract with the revelation of our contract, it is no pain, no gain. But thank God, there's some good in pain because you learn from what your trials and tests and your temptations and many things you don't see until you go through. And if God did not take you through the way he purposed to take you through, you will not see the end result.
That's right.
Amen. Now, go to go to the Greek, amen, and I want to look at verse 1 through 3 in the interlinear. Do you have your interlinear? Okay, D, we're going to look at verse 1, read 1 through 3, because we don't have time to look at all of this, but we're just going to highlight the key points to bring up the message today, amen? Okay, D, we all said.
Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, interlineal Greek text.
Yes.
To boast, it behooves not, not expedient,
mm-hmm.
indeed. For I will come to visions and revelations of Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I know a man in Christ before years 14. Whether in the body, I know not, or outside the body, I know not. God knows.
Mm-hmm.
Caught such a one to third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in body or apart from the body,
uh-huh.
I know not. God knows.
And how he was caught up, and then it says, do you read verse 4 in the interlinear? Okay.
Verse 4.
Yes.
Interlinear Greek text. That he was caught into the paradise.
Caught into the paradise.
And heard unspeakable words.
Heard, by the way, that's the aorist. Heard. Aorist tense, past complete aorist. Heard unspeakable words, okay?
Which it is not permissible for a man to speak.
Not, he heard some wonderful things. In fact, that word caught up, that is in the, that's an aorist participle. We know a participle is a verbal adjective. It's in the passive voice. All of this was done to Paul. Paul, God called Paul up. God showed him there's some revelations here. Now, it doesn't specifically spell out what God showed him. But in essence, God had to show him. It had to be some things that was never revealed before in all of human history. And there is no doubt that the essence of what God showed to Paul was directly tied into the mystery, our contract, the gospel of the grace of God. It was no doubt that in that time, God showed Paul that in terms of the body of Christ, that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Not chosen in time, but chosen in eternity. Yes, but sometimes say, well, I on a certain day, the enthusiasm came to me that I'm saved. No, that what came to you was revelation. Amen. What came to you was the revelation of the fact of what God had already done. What came to you was information. It was your initiation of salvation was done in eternity. Amen. It was also no doubt that Paul saw that we as members of the body of Christ, we are without blame. There's no doubt that God, that Paul saw that God, we've been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of God's will. Amen. It was no doubt that God showed Paul that we, one time, were dead in our trespassing sins, when in time past, we walk according to the course of this world. There's no doubt that God showed Paul that one day in time, we was dead, dead, dead. But also, there's no doubt that God showed Paul that one time in the essence of eternity, we were never lost. Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, you must lose your mind. How can you be saved and lost at the same simultaneously? Well, it's very simple. Hallelujah. Your salvation is a component of eternity. You being dead in your trespass and sins is a component of time. That's part of the time council. So in the essence of time, no matter what you've done, and we've all done some crazy things, but somebody says, not me. Pray for that brother and sister right there, because they are not telling the truth. We know, amen. We've all done some crazy things, and we're not glorifying that, by the way. But the point is that even when you were out there in time doing whatever, you were still saved. Yes. There's no doubt that God showed Paul, hallelujah, that we were one time walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, when he loved us, has made us to sit together, not God up here and we down here, but sin together in the heavens in Christ. Right now, there's no doubt that God showed Paul, right now are you in Christ Jesus. You are now who you always been. Somebody said, oh no, I got in when I shook the preacher's hand. Or I'm going to get in when, whenever. No, no, no. You have always been.
Always.
There's no doubt that God showed Paul that everything has been actualized by God's decree in eternity. Everything! Everything! Not something, everything! There's no doubt that whatever you say you're going to be, wherever you're going to be, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, it's already on that matrix. It's already there. But somebody say, I don't see it. Well, this one, we walk in our faith and not our sight. Because God may show you some things you may not want to see now. But it'll always be for His glory, for His plan, and for His purpose. Everything. You see, what confuses a lot of God's people is that they try to have separate entities with what God did in time and what's happening, what, in eternity. Everything in our life is complete, church. And we cannot say, well, this happened in the past, and now I'm in the time, and one day the future's going to be here. Now, you know, because let's be, we all, you know, we are spiritual, but because we have a physical body, sometimes you just have to show people some things for them to see the workings of God. So now, we are, say, I'm in Christ. We're in Christ now. We've always been. Now, my wife and I were talking the other day. You know, a lot of times we can't sleep. We just talk. And a lot of times we just talk about the goodness of the Lord. And I'm going to steal one of her thoughts 2 weeks ago about this tape. See, I can say it. I'm honest. And I got excited about that. Now, if we can imagine. You see this wall behind here, church? If this wall represents, I mean, it's a bad example, but I'm just going to make a point. If this wall represented, let's say from one end to the other, if you could just go one end to the other, all the way, nothing but the brick wall behind me. And let's say that was eternity. Now we know it's not, but again, just for practical purposes, if this wall, everything behind me, see, some people say, well, we got time, God, and past, now here's time, so, you know, time is intercepted eternity, and now one day when I die, Pastor, they'll say, man, it's going to be eternity. Wait a minute, D, I want you to take this piece of tape and put it behind the wall right now, please. Because sometimes we have to, if you do not understand, just take this and stick it right back there. Amen. If you don't understand the workings of God, you'll be so blinded by what's happening now that you will oversee, you won't look at the workings of God and what He's done for you in eternity. Now, for those of you that can't see, you probably say, I don't see no tape. That's what they call transparent tape. Amen. Now, here's the question. They took that tape. That tape represents, let's say that represents time. Uh-huh. Now, when in the moment that they touched that wall, that tape was manifested on the wall. Oh. It was interfaced on the wall. Okay. When God created time, time was interfaced with eternity. But time had nothing, time had no impact on eternity. Eternity was already there and ain't going nowhere. When He put the tape behind the wall did not go anywhere. Still there. And you look at a lot of preachers, they would think that God took a bulldozer and just ripped the wall apart and then put time and then it kept going. No! Time is still there. I'm sorry, eternity is still there. Crude example, but if you can just go from one end to the other, and if that wall if it would just never stop, you have all the brick walls that represent eternity, the little tape is time. And so many people's lives are controlled by what happens in that little tape. Not looking at the big picture. Not looking at justification. Not looking at adoption. Not looking at propitiation. Not looking at who you are in Christ. Not looking at sanctification. Not looking at all the wonderful things that God has for us. You are consumed with a little thing, a little crazy piece of tape.
Glory to God.
One day, Dave, do me a favor, if you can,
go and rip the tape off, please.
Hallelujah.
Our gospel,
yeah,
does it not say that one day time will be no more?
Amen.
When he took the tape off, the brick wall is still there. It's still there, but it's always been there. Here's the question. Are you looking at the brick wall, or are you looking at the tape?
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to say this again. Are you consumed by the tape, or are you being moved and unction, and every iota of your being is focused on the brick wall? Brick wall. That's what God has done for us in his workings. Because one day time will be no more. And see, when you look at things from the eternal view, from what God has done, it clears up so many things that we encounter in time. It'll clear up the situation where you woke up and you just, why did this happen this way? You know, it was already there the whole time. It was just revealed to you. See, you came in, and see, when people say, religious circles, they'll say, I've been saved for 50 years. I've been saved for 30 years. And then some of them say, someone say, I've been in the way for 40 years. And that's probably the problem right there. They've been in the way. They come to say, I've been in the way. Get out of the way and let God have his way. Well, he can have his way anyway. He's God. He can have it anyway. You know, why do people resist God? He's God. He is God. And we got to talk about Jesus. So a person come in here, I'm standing here right now. We all are limited time. That's why Paul tells us to redeem the God. Our gospel tells us to redeem the time. Do you know that every minute I'm trying to puff up myself, that's a minute taken away from talking about Jesus? So we got time to talk about ourselves. We got to talk about the Lord.
Yeah.
If you get tired doing that, go take your keys and we'll see you later. But we're here to talk about the Lord, amen?
Yeah.
But when you understand the workings of God in eternity, then when things happen, I heard people say, this happened to me, I didn't pray about it. You didn't pray about it because it was already there. somebody said, God answered prayer. I didn't say a word of prayer. You didn't have to. It was already there. It was just revealed by God's plan, purpose. And many times, God will allow things to happen to call even this world system to be, say, wow, how can that be? It reminds me of a few, we all know the story. This plane went down to Colombia, and right now you have people, scientists and designers, they're trying to figure out how in the world can a plane that break in four pieces and everybody survived except one person, and that person has a heart attack. They can't figure now how everybody, you don't notice, you saw it, that plane was like clipped in four pieces, and they know that in essence that everybody should have got killed, and nobody. Nobody got killed, and then it just made me so mad. When the people got, I said, thank God. They were there saying, oh, it's a miracle. Thank the Lord and the one couple. They were in the hospital. They were praising the Lord. And I guess this old arrogant engineer got mad, and he said, it wasn't really a miracle. He said, these designers, that's the way they designed the plane you heard it, to survive this. And we don't know the future, but I would not be surprised by the workings of God to give testimony that God is God by himself, that God will allow a plane to just go softly down and everybody get killed. Why? To give testimony. It's not about the workings of good man. It's about what God has decreed.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
It's about what God has decreed. And we understand the workings of God. You can just rest in the fact that our gospel is a liberating gospel. It liberates you from confusion, from heartache, from despair, because you know that everything there is.
Yeah.
And when as things appear, as you go through time, you can say, rest in. You can say, Lord, well, this is there all the time. So I'm just going to walk by faith and move on. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Very familiar scripture. This is, again, our gospel. Our gospel. Now, we just read where Paul says, he took pleasure in what? Infirmities and weaknesses and all of these problems. He said, I take pleasure in these things. Why? Because Paul was looking at the brick and not the tape. Amen? Come on, D, let's read this, please. Let's read, go to the King James and the Greek. Amen.
We're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, 1 King James Version. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Read that one more time, please.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Let's go to the interlinear, please, because we need to say something about this. In the interlinear, okay?
From the interlinear Greek text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18.
Yes.
In everything, give thanks, for this will of God in Christ Jesus in regard to you.
For this, in other words, for this, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, this situation that I'm in right now, God is working this out for my good. Not only is he working it out, but he already has. The things that has happened to me in the past, God worked those things out for my good. If I ask anybody in here, was there ever a time that you remember your life where in the natural you should have been wiped out? About hand in hand. And if you know there are some people that probably went through the same situation that you went through that are what, not here now. Somebody said, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does if you see the whole picture. God had already decreed that he's not finished with you. But so, in essence, when you say, wow, I should have been dead, God, who in essence, you say, how in the world did I get out of there? How did I survive that situation? It was by the will, the plan, and the purpose of Almighty God. He has a will, plan, and purpose, and no matter what, you know what's going to happen? I don't care. All of the devils in hell, all the people, all the whoever, they're not going to touch your, nothing's going to come against you. Now, things will come against you. Amen. Because we live in what? This present evil age. Somebody said, I love the Lord and everything, but why is it some Christians sometimes they got bad attitudes, or they this and this, and we all in the same boat? Why? In this present evil age, we have a depraved body. And one day, God is going to destroy this body. And by the way, if you understand the workings of God, the body's already destroyed. If you understand the workings of God, you're already glorified. Now somebody say, preach, you lost your mind. How do you say I'm glorified? And right now I see my arthritis, my throat sore, my headaches. What do you mean? You are what? Glorified because you're complete. It's already done. It just hasn't been manifested yet. Already done. You know, isn't that a wonderful way to live? That is a wonderful way to live. And you know, with this knowledge, it will give you peace right down in your life, because you have peace with God. You have the peace of God. if you have, if the Lord give you his what? If you have peace, the peace of God, the peace with God, then you will have peace in every situation as you go through down here. When your wicked, the enemies come against you, you can have peace with your enemies. Because you can say, amen, brother, sister, I love you with the love of the Lord, and move on. And God will put big coals of fire in their head, and they say, wait a minute, and they'll come to you, and they'll say, Lord, forgive me. You forgive me. Why? Because you are walking in the deeper life in Christ. You're not controlled by the things down here in time. And that's what Paul had to do, because when God showed Paul these wonderful things, and when God in dim time, Paul had to deal with this Corinthian church backbiting. They were caught up in tongues. They were caught up in physicality. They were caught up in all of these things. In essence, Paul became very impatient. Somebody said, wait a minute, he became very impatient. He's a man. And he said, understand, a whole new dispensation was given to him, and Paul became arrogant. Somebody said, wait a minute, this man wrote 3/4 of the Bible. What do you mean he got arrogant? In other words, he said, he knew this was what? My gospel. My contract. This is what? What God gave to me. And these Corinthians, who are controlled by the flesh, controlled by carnality. In one case, a man was going around having an affair with his stepmother. And then one time they're suing each other. You name it, it was occurring in that church. And Paul at many times became very, arrogant, frustrated. And the Lord, once the Lord said, Paul, no matter what you see, we walk by faith. Paul, there are men in this city. God sent him there for a purpose. And God showed him that there are men in this city that's going to listen to this contract. So many times, that's the liberating thing about our gospel, is that you just put out there, you don't have to twist people's arms and try to get them to see it. In other words, God is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives truth and illumination and light. He's the teacher, not you. You're just a vessel. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. So in the essence, going back to when we walked in this in life, our goal, our focus, our thoughts should not be what is this, because what is what God has decreed. But we should shift our thinking to what is this for? Because when the bad news comes, what we consider bad news, the higher thinking that this is God working something out in this situation. When it happens, then we can look to say, God has a purpose in this situation. He works all things for good. To them that are called to love God. To them who are called by his purpose. And in this present evil age, things are going to happen to everyone in here. Nobody's exempt. Amen. But when you look at it, you can say, Lord, what is this for? I'm going to read something, because I mentioned this a couple of years ago, but I don't think everybody was here. And this is something I want to read. It spells out the whole essence of, some of you may have heard of a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. See, a lot of times people get into a situation, they'll say, oh, what I'm going through, nobody. Can I understand what I'm going through? Well, let's see what this man went through, and let's see what purpose that God had in this situation. There was a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. He was born in October 1928. He was a successful lawyer and a businessman. And he loved the scriptures. He loved the word of God. Now, these prosperity preachers today, they'll tell you, oh, if you love the Word of God, if you love this Bible, you ain't going to have no problems. Hamburgers. I'll stop with that one. Then what happened? In 1871, a fire in Chicago heavily devastated the city. And months before that, Spafford had invested tons of money in real estate off of Lake Michigan. The disaster greatly wiped out his savings, so he lost all his fortune. Mm-hmm. Come on. Lost his fortune, understand? Now, what God has given you, amen. I don't think most of you in here have lost everything. This man was a successful Christian businessman that lost everything. But somebody said, oh, that's bad. Well, we ain't finished yet. You say you were. Before the fire, before this situation, he lost a son at birth. So he lost his fortune. He lost his son at birth. We're not finished. So, 2 years after the fire, Spafford planned a trip to Europe for him and his family. You know, when you go through some things, you know, we've been there right now. What? A lot of people on vacation. I needed a break. Nothing wrong. Amen. But I'm sure this is one of the reasons why he said he just felt he needed a break from what? Losing his fortune, losing his son. And what else happened? He wanted a rest for his wife and four daughters. And also to assist Moody and Stanky in one of their evangelistic campaigns in Great Britain. Notice, he was on fire for the Lord. He was not meant to travel with his family. Now, no, I was reading this and I printed this on the internet last night. It said, he was not meant to travel with his family. That's right. It's true. God planned and decreed it that he was not going to go with what? His wife and the four daughters. And what happened? The day in November, when they were due to depart, Spafford had a last-minute business transaction and had to stay behind in Chicago. God had a purpose for him not to be in that boat. But he still sent his wife and four daughters to travel as he scheduled on the boat, and he was expecting to catch up with them later. In a few days. On November 22nd, the ship laden with his wife and daughters was struck by a vessel and the boat sank in a few minutes. And he asked his wife, what's the result? And after the survivors were finally landed somewhere at Wales, Spafford's wife came up, her husband, two words, save Malone. Shortly after, Spafford left by ship on his way where his beloved four daughters had drowned. Man lost his fortune. Man, on fire for God, lost his fortune. Lost his son at birth. Now he lost all four of his daughters. And what happened? In this situation, he, pen in hand, he wrote the song that has encouraged so many Christians throughout the ages. From this incident, the song that everyone in here knows, it is well within my soul. God, we're not saying that God has a purpose. Now, God could have given him that song with none of this happening, but God has had a will, plan, a purpose for what? This specific man. But in this song, we know it is well within my soul. It has been an inspiration to thousands and probably millions of Christians over the ages. Amen? So, in closing, let's say one thing in terms of the workings of God. We need to understand that when we talk about what God did for us and what he shall continue to do, this whole focus is in our gospel, in Ephesians, in Romans, in Thessalonians, in Corinthians. The essence of our contract is the fact that God reached out to us. The difference in what God has done for you and the non-elect is that he has reached out to what? To you in love and he has not reached out to the non-elect. Now, we're going to go to two more scriptures real quick because we need to tie this together. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Now, understand that Pastor wrote a document on our contract. When we talk about our gospel, what? Those 14 epistles of Paul? You have to take it all. You can't say, I'm going to focus on this and not the other. The whole gospel, those 14 epistles, are our directives. Amen. Now, read Romans 16:21-23. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10 through 14.
Reading from Romans chapter 16, beginning at the 23rd and then through the 21st through the 23rd verse.
Yes.
King James Version. Timothy, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you.
Uh-huh.
I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord.
Okay.
Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother.
Now, notice, Paul opened, now we know Romans, this book, no, in terms of the total plan of redemption, and what God did for us in terms of redeeming us from sin in eternity, you get all of this in this book, and I've always wondered for years, why is it that in all, based on all Paul's what? Writings, he ends up calling all people's names. Brother so-and-so. Why does he do that? It's for a purpose. You gotta look at the whole thing. Let's look at it again. Let's corroborate something else here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No, chapter 16. He starts out talking about those deep things. And then he ends up mentioning a lot of names. Somebody said, well, you know, how can you correlate these two together? All right, let's keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. We get there. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we can read 10. Now, this is kind of long, but we want you to see the whole picture. Read 10 through 24D. Now, listen carefully now. He's been reading 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 10 through 24.
Beginning at the 10th verse of 1 Corinthians 16, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time.
No, come with the brethren, okay?
But he will come when he shall have convenient time.
Mm-hmm.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity.
Mm-hmm.
I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas.
House of Stephanas. Look, all these names he's calling. Keep going, Dick.
That it is the first fruit of Achaia.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have addicted themselves to the... to the ministry of the saints.
They have addicted themselves. They have what? Now we do not have to. We know what that word addiction, right? We know when I was in the pharmaceutical business, we had a drug that they made to help fight off addictions. And part of my job was going to some hospital to get people straight on drugs. And they had to have it. They were addicted to that stuff. They had to have it. Now, I think addiction is a good word if you say, Pastor, I need some counsel. Wait, what? I'm addicted to the gospel. Amen, amen. That's a good amen. They would not need no counsel, Pastor.
Yeah.
No. Amen. Right? But no, he mentions all these names. Somebody, let me say this. Paul did not just pin those names for nothing. It was a purpose for that. Keep going.
And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us,
mm-hmm.
and laboreth.
Uh-huh.
I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus.
All these names, uh-huh.
For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied.
Mm-hmm.
For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge them.
Acknowledge them.
That are sent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. With the church that is in their house.
I repeat, why all these names? Is he just doing this for nothing? No. Keep going.
All the brethren greet you.
Mm-hmm.
Greet ye one another with a holy kiss.
Mm-hmm.
The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha.
Uh-huh.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now, here's the key. What Paul, he opens up with, what you know, everything about our contract is deep. Everything, right? Propitiation, sanctification, adoption, election. Everything that God did for us in eternity, the wonderful workings of God. Let me say this. That you can name a propitiation, justification, all the nations, but why is it that the elect, we are the wonderful recipients of God's grace? And these wonderful doctrines of salvation, the non-elect, by the way, we don't know who they are, right? What's the difference? God reached out to us in love. In essence, Paul was saying, the first part of his writings, he talks about God, what he's done for us in love. He reached out to us in love. And when he mentions on the end of the book, when he mentions the brothers and sisters, he was saying, when you reach out to one another in love, that is a manifestation of what God did for you in eternity. When you reach out to your brothers and sisters in love, it is a transparent design of what God did for us. He reached out to us. And you go through all his writings. He is our greatest. He mentions all those names. It wasn't there for just convenience. It was there for a purpose. And the workings of God, many times, will put you, what? In inconvenience, but you do what you can do as God, what? Enables you to do. And as we walk through life, there are many things that we're going to, what? Encounter. But we walk by faith and not by sight. When I was, if we're going to continue to keep Sister Yolanda watching sisters Terry's daughter in our prayers, and we're going to continue to keep Paul in our prayers, Sister Marlene. But when I was in the hospital this visit both of them this past week, I was in those making those seeing all those people that were what? They were some were like on the, you know, on the end of the road, some were all different types of illnesses. And what came to me was so clear is that everyone that is breathing air. When I was at St. John's Hospital and Boston Hospital, I close on this. There is not a person in here that's exempt from being in one in the hospital. Yeah. There's no one exempt. Because we live in a present evil age. And I'm not saying God spoke to me, you know, that people say that's them. That's them to God. But it came to me so clear that when we go through things, you will want people to reach out to you. Just let God reach out to us. You will want someone to reach out to you. Because in this present evil age, you don't know what you're going to be falling even tomorrow.
Amen.
But somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? What are you talking about? I just left my doctor and he gave me a clean bill of health. Guess what? Guess what? You know what I say? Wonderful. Amen. But now, if you are going to entrust your health with what the doctor said, have mercy. You may tell me, but he gave that level, you understand? He said he gave me a clean bill of health. You could be healthy today and face a surgeon tomorrow.
Amen.
I was there 4 years ago.
Amen.
Amen. I say, you mean it can happen that quick? You ask Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta Jones. Talk to the most powerful, one of the most powerful couples in Hollywood, the man with the $1 million voice. And right now, it has throat cancer that he's dealing with. Let's imagine this Hollywood. Let's take it local. We all know this. I ain't calling names, you know, but we all know the situation in West Bloomfield with his pharmaceutical executive got killed, and the husband retired. Anyway, make a long story short, tragedy in the household. So because I retired after 20 years in pharmaceuticals, a few people asked me this week, do you know them? Yes, I knew them personally. But the issue is this. I know based upon what their level was in pharmaceutical business, I know they had money to burn. Money to burn. But you don't know what appears, you don't know what really is. You don't know. And I knew both of them. But here's the issue. That whatever situation you are encountering, you need to understand that the only thing that can stabilize you in this present evil age is the knowledge of our contract. It's the knowledge of who you are in Christ. It's the knowledge of what God has done for you in eternity. This will stabilize you, church. And as we walk by faith, and as we move forward in the workings of God, we need to understand that, and by the way, when we say what God allows in your life, whatever occurs, amen. Understand that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If God put $1 million in your pocket tomorrow, understand that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you'll lend me some out of my hand. I have no problem with it. I got no problem giving. But if God takes some things away from you, understand that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What God gives is the will of God. Whatever trial you're going through, it's the will of God. Whatever you go through in time, understand your goal, your focus is, I'm going to look at the wall and not the tape. Because the tape can change in a moment. But the wall, we'll always be here because you know the wall is. Whatever it is. You are complete in Christ Jesus. And this is the knowledge of our gospel. And that's why the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. It's our gospel. It's a liberating gospel. It liberates you from confusion, from heartache, from confusion, from heartache. Stay in your gospel. Stay in your gospel. Stay in your gospel, the liberating gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.